Full day today, and we got a good crowd this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad y'all came. I tell you, I'm not good at doing the announcements, but I guess I'm going to do them this morning. In the bulletin, remember our Wednesday night Bible study, Saturday night. Last night we had Dr. Rob McCorkle. And he did such a fabulous job last night. He was so good, the message that he gave. And I tell you, I'm hoping to have him back. He's going to be here in person. We're setting that up next fall. Actually, next spring he'll be here because he's booked from now. I think he said he's leaving here soon, and he'll be booked solid until spring. So, but I look forward to maybe having him again. On one of our Saturday nights or Wednesday nights. I'm just glad everybody's here today. Happy birthday to Joe Ames and Brian Hill on the 20th. Remember to be social distancing, right? I just have to remind you of that, right? Everybody got quiet right there. You're like, what's that? we're over it, right? Is that what you're saying? Amen. Remember on June 26th, it's a Friday night, not a Saturday. We could use some extra volunteers. We're giving out our grocery give. It'll be at the Fellowship Hall from 5 to 7. So volunteers would be welcomed. And last month when we did that, it was such a blessing. It really was an awesome time. And I know that this time it's going to be another awesome time. So thank you for your donations, those that have been given. We have been getting a lot of donations in for this grocery give, and I appreciate it. I know God will bless you. In your bulletin, there's a list of food that we're giving out, or if you just want to give a donation to Verna, just give it to her and we'll go buy it. So next week's Father's Day, and also we're going to do honoring our babies next Sunday, and also our graduates. We're just going to kind of do it all in one time, a big celebration day, you know. So don't miss that. Hopefully it won't be hot. Hopefully it'll be nice and cool like it is today. It's a beautiful day compared to what we've had the last few days. And thank God for that. We do have some canopies, like the ones like over here and like the ones here. Well, the church has four inside. So if it's hot next week, we can set those up and get some shade for us. So, well, that's it on the announcements, unless I'm missing something. Am I forgetting something? Also, if you'll notice, I have a new T-shirt on. Can you see it? See it well? Blue color. Verna is making T-shirts. She made this one. She's made several. So if you want a new T-shirt, just see Vernon. You can get them in different colors. It's not all just blue. If you like the blue, that's fine. If you want it in pink, red, purple, whatever, she can make it. And so if you want a T-shirt, just see Vernon. How's that? Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm excited. I tell you, God is just doing amazing things in people's lives. And I tell you, I'm just overwhelmed, and I know we've got Emily still in the hospital. Terry said she's supposed to get out today, and she was put in the hospital Friday night and with AFib, but they've got that corrected, and they put her on some medicine, and so they're going to release her today, and so, but we'll continue praying for her that that doesn't happen again, and I know Ed's, he's here this morning. He's supposed to, he's going to have surgery next week. And on Wednesday. And so we need to keep him in prayers as they do surgery on his shoulder. We know that it's going to be a long recovery for that, but we're praying for God's healing. We're praying that God will just take care of it so that he can recover quickly and get back to fishing. And because anyway, and I know there's many others out there. I don't want to forget anybody, but I know there's a lot of people that in our church, in this community, that need healing. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And dear Heavenly Father, mighty God, we believe in your power of healing. We believe in your mighty presence in our lives. Lord, we believe your Holy Spirit can do great things and amazing things. So, Lord, right now we call upon you and we lift names up to you, Lord, ones that are in our hearts and in our minds. Each one of us here has somebody on our heart, and maybe it's even us. Maybe it's something going on in our own personal life, Lord, that we need your help with. And so, Lord, right now we just come to you. We just come to you, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, let your Holy Spirit do its great work. Lord, just heal. Lord, forgive. Bring peace. Lord, encouragement. Lord, let all your power flow through us, Lord, this morning. Anoint this service this morning. Lord, open up our minds. Open up our hearts, Lord, that we may receive your word, Lord. We're here today to glorify you. Lord, we stand here glorifying you, Lord, praising you. That's why we're here, Lord. Lord, use us today. Use us today, Lord. Use us when we leave. Use us tomorrow. Use us the next day and the next day and the next day. Lord, let us show the love of Christ to all humanity. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know it's a little windy today. Probably going to get some noise from the wind, but just look through that a little bit here.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
I am so
wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Light of the world, You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore You. Hope of a life spent with You. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly You came to the earth You created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. Realize just how beautiful You are, how great Your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
By the grace in his eyes, grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets. I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
Amen. You believe that this morning?
Oh, how he loves us.
Papers from blowing away, and yeah, that'd be fine, except for this. Amen. Are you glad you came this morning? Amen. You know how much God loves you? Amen. You realize that God loves you so much? I know Dr. Rob last night, Pastor Rob talked about love, and He reminded me about how much God loves me. He reminded me about how much God loves us and how much, you know, what he does for us. And, you know, I've been working on this message this week, and I was like, God, you just know what you're doing. I didn't know what Rob was going to talk about. I just love to hear him talk, you know. He just, he's a powerful speaker, and very, very knowledgeable of the Word. I mean, he just knows the Scripture well, and he just really a joy to listen to. If you missed it, I wish we'd recorded it, because it's just that good. He talked about love, and you know, God knows our motives. And I want to talk a little bit about this morning, because his message went along with my message. Of course, I know that Scripture all comes together. Scripture is all tied together usually. But as Christians, we must examine our motives to ensure we are motivated by love only. Because that love is what motivates us for what we do as a church and who we are as Christians. And without the love, there is no... We're a professed Christian, but not a possessed Christian. How many people's heard that before? I shared that. You know, you can confess that you're a Christian, but unless you're possessed with the love of God in your life, that's what changes people when they see Christ. You know, God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, because He was motivated by the love that He had for us. And as we sang that song, "Oh, how He loves us," He was motivated by the love that He had for us to send His Son to die for us. That's pretty powerful, isn't it, to think that God sent His Son to die for you. Jesus demonstrated His obedience to His Father and love for us by laying down His life for us. You know, Jesus, when we love God, we will be motivated by love and serve others as an expression of our love towards Him. Just like He demonstrated His love for us with the expression of the sacrifice that He gave. God's motivation is always, always love. John 3:16. We know that scripture well. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That is a powerful statement, isn't it? Powerful. God gave His Son, and whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. We have to understand and come to know that God loves us. We have to come to understand that God is love. Love has an action. Love is an action. It's a demonstration. And as Christians, if we have the love of God within us, it comes with action and demonstration. Amen? We show the world the love of God by our actions and our demonstrations. Love in action, also in word. In 1 John 3:16, it says, "By this we come to know progressively." I like that. To recognize, to perceive, to understand the essential love that He laid down His own life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for those who are our brothers in Him. But if anyone has this world's goods, resources for sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believers in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him? Little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity. See, we must love not just in thought, not just in word, because sometimes we can say that we're going to do something. We can say that we love somebody, but how that person knows, how the world knows that we're really sincere and how they know that we really love them is by our actions. How we treat people, what we say. Our motive should always be that of love, not what we can get from someone, but what we can do for them. Love is always selfless. When we serve, we should be motivated only by love. It shouldn't be out of, "Look what I did. Look what I did." It should always be out of, "I love the church so much, I'm doing it. I love God so much, I'm doing it anyway. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I don't care that I get a nice new t-shirt. I did it because I love the church. I did it because I love God." Amen? And I know there's lots of people within this church that do lots of things that don't ask for any acknowledgement, because they do it because they love the church and they love God. Colossians 3:22 says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily." Like, do it with your heart. "As to the Lord and not to men." Do it because you love the Lord, he's saying. "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward and the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." We don't serve the world anymore. We don't serve ourselves and all its lustful desires and all the things that pleases us in the world. That self-centeredness that we can have. We serve Jesus because we love Him. And we want to thank Him for what He did for us. We want to thank God because He gave His Son for us. That sacrifice. We should serve one another in love when we need to remember that God knows our motives. He knows everything about you. He knows what you do and why you do it. And there's no getting away from that. You can fool people, but you can't fool God. One of these days we'll stand before Him and we'll give an account for what we did, for what we said, for how we acted, for if we forgave or if we didn't forgive. God knows. He knows our hearts. You know, serving can be difficult, it seems like, for some. But serving will not be difficult when we love God, when the love of God is our motive. When we put God first, then serving is not difficult. You know, we have a motive when we go to work. It's to get paid, right? That's what our motive is to get paid. You may not like your job. You may not like the guy you work for. Sometimes that makes it difficult, doesn't it? But when your heart's in the right place, there's a change. When you're motivated by love and not just by a paycheck or by recognition, things change, don't it? The atmosphere changes. I like what Rob said last night, Pastor Rob. He said, you know, you can change the atmosphere of a place no matter where you're at if you have the love of Christ within you, because wherever Jesus showed up, things changed. And if the love of God's within your heart, whenever you show up there, it may be a rowdy crowd, it may be an unloving church that you go to. But that unloving church can be changed by the love that's within you. You change the atmosphere by your love that you show. Whenever Jesus showed up, things changed. It will be harder to serve if love is not the motive. It always is, because then you're always thinking about what I didn't get, what I deserve. It's all about me, isn't it? We should follow God's example of love. In Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We have to be imitators of Christ first of all. And Rob brought this scripture out right here, and I wanted to use it this morning. There's a word right there in Ephesians 5, 1, the verse 2, it says, and walk in love, what? Just as Christ did. It's also there at the end of chapter 4, where it says, what do? You do it just as Christ. What's that word, just as? That means to be just like Christ. And that's the way we should be. That should be our motive in life, is to be just like Christ. Just as Christ did, that's what we do. And what was that? What did Christ do? He loved everybody. He loved everybody, even when they didn't deserve it. Words alone cannot express love. You can say that you love somebody, but it's the things that you do that show them that you love them and how they know that you truly love them. It's by what you do. And church, I'm telling you this morning, I'm telling you right now, it's by what we do as a church that shows the community how much we love God. It's the actions. It's how we talk. It's how we speak. It's how we treat people. It's what we say. It's not just about confessing that you're a Christian. It's about possessing the love of God within your life, within your heart, in everything that you do, every action. People see that. And when they see that, they're seeing Christ. And when they see Christ, things happen. and people's lives get changed. Amen? Jesus died for us. His death was a demonstration of His love. Because He laid down His life for us, we should be willing to lay down our lives to serve what? Each other. Each other. Sometimes it takes a sacrifice to bite your tongue when somebody says something that really doesn't go the way you'd like it to go. Sometimes people can say things that kind of get your blood boiling, don't they? But it's how you react during that time is how you can show the love of God, or how you can show that you're really not too close to God. Even when He was betrayed, Jesus still loved all the way to the end. And He even said at the end, before He died, He said, "Father, forgive them." Man, all the way to the end. As a Christian, our life must be a constant demonstration of love. As Christians, we should make a quality decision to love one another. That takes a decision we have to make. I'm telling you, it's work. Paul said, "I die daily." There was a reason why he said that. There's a reason. Because it takes work. It takes action. It's not easy sometimes to love people. There's some people out there that's just really hard to love. I'm not going to point you out. But I'm telling you, you guys are great, every one of you. Got quiet. You know, the demonstration of the love of God should be more than the theory, more than just a theory in our lives. It shouldn't be something we just think about or talk about. It's something that we should put into action. And that's how we demonstrate the love that is within us. The love of God is patient and in kind. It endures forever. It endures forever. 1 Corinthians 13:4 said, "Love suffers long and is kind, and love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely." Come on now. "Does not seek its own." Come on. "It is not provoked, and it thinks no evil." 1 Corinthians 13:4 again in the Amplified. I like what it says here. Listen to this. Different, same scripture, different translation. It says, "Love endures long and is patient and kind, and love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly." Come on now. God's love, it insists on its own rights, of its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it, and it pays no attention to suffered wrong. I know people that's been holding on to stuff for 30 years, and they talk about it like it just happened yesterday. And I'm telling you, that's not what God does. That's not what the love of God is. God lets them things go. Doesn't let them fester in your life. When we demonstrate love, we show people that the God in us, that God is love. And every law of the Bible is hinged on love. Did you know that? Every law in the Bible is hinged on love. Without love, it is impossible to please God. Our motives need to line up with God's motives, and that motive is love. You know, all the laws and promises of God are hinged to the law of love, and love is a lifestyle. Jesus walked in a lifestyle of love, and so can we. I'm just telling you that this morning. Love is an action word, and we need to put our love for one another into action. In James 1:22, it says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. We have to do it. It's not just about hearing it. So many people hear the word, but are not doers. So many. We need to serve. Serve in love. And serving in love brings the blessings of God. Lives get changed after they meet Jesus. This starts by giving up who we are, who we want to be. Stop thinking it's all about me and what I want. And start realizing we need to become more like Christ. We need to die to self and our self-centeredness in an act of love and obedience to the Lord. That's what we need to do. Every day. Tomorrow, the next day. It just keeps going. Every day. This week, when you are among the unsaved, your walk in love will draw people into the kingdom of God. That's what happened when Jesus was out. People were drawn to Him. Why? Because of the love that He had. The only love that people may see, the only love that some people may see this week is the love that's within you. I heard a saying one time, it says the only Bible that somebody may read is you this week. Because the Word lives within you. Amen? Come on. You know, I had this thought. It says, when I look in the mirror, I want to see Jesus. Amen? When I look in the mirror, I want people... When I look in the mirror, I want to see Jesus. And when people see me, I want people to see Jesus. I don't want them to see Randy, this old ugly guy. Human. I want them to see Jesus because you know what? I'm professing right now that Jesus lives within me. He's my Lord and my Savior. I want to put that into action. I want people to see that Jesus does live within me. And when they meet me and when they talk to me, they can see the love of Christ is in me. Do you know that comes with giving up and sacrifice? He laid His life down for you. Paul said, you've got to put to death the old man. What's that mean? You've got to get rid of you and start imitating Christ. Colossians 3:9-10 says, do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. If there's a new life, there was an old life. And He says, you got to put off that old life. You're not the same person anymore because you got Christ in you. You're not that person that you was. Imitate Christ. Die to the old man. Ephesians 4:22. That in reference to your former manner of life, again, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. It's been created in righteousness and in holiness and in truth. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." 1 Peter 2:1 says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander." 1 Peter 1:14 says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. For it is by his wounds you were healed." 1 John 1:6 and 7, it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." We don't practice the truth. See what I'm saying? "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus as his son cleanses us from all sin." Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, but because of practice have their sense trained to discern good and evil." 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness." I'm almost done here. 2 Peter 1:5 and 9 says, "For now, with this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in self-control, perseverance, and in perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love." Amen. I know I'm reading a lot of scriptures this morning, but I got to do this. I just got a few more. Romans 6:3 says, "Or do not you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death?" There's that getting rid of that dying. Romans 8:12 and 13 says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Titus 2:12 says, "Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality." He goes on to say a whole lot more. But that's that I used a word called, in theology, they use a word called mortification, which is an aggressive death to old things. Colossians 3:5 and 9 says, "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to the immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked." You once was. "When you were living in them." 1 Corinthians 6:18. I've just got a couple more. It says, "Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his whole body." Ephesians 5:3 says, "But immorality and any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints." Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice." In Matthew 9:17, it says, "Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins. Listen to this. Otherwise, the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." Why did I read all those? I wanted to read all those scriptures because it's about becoming like Christ. It's about getting rid of that old stuff that hinders us, because the things of this world will captivate you, will pull you away from becoming like Christ. If we put self in the way, we'll always move away from Christ. But he's saying we've got to put to death those old things every day. We get up and we die every day. We move on every day. We get rid of that stuff. And when we do, we become love to this world. We become love to each other. We become love to this community. And when we become love, we become like Christ. And when we become like Christ, then lives get changed. Communities get changed. You know, I've heard people tell me that when they walked into the church, they could feel the love of God. Why is that? Why is that? It's because we got some people that are becoming like Christ. It's not because of what they said or what they did. It's because of who they are. And they're becoming like Christ. See, when we put Christ first and we let go of all that bitterness and malice and deceit and arrogance and pride, and people really know it. They can feel it because they feel the presence of God Almighty in you. Amen? Man, I just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning struggling with anything, Lord, if they need to let loose, they need to let go. Lord, we're not here. We're not here, Lord, for condemnation. We're not here to judge. We're here to say, I let go. I've got to die daily. I'm no different than anyone else. We've got to die daily. That's what you tell us. Lord, so I'm asking right now, Lord, just send down your Holy Spirit upon them. Lord, just tell us what to do. Lord, we love you. Your word tells us what to do, really. Lord, I just pray, Lord, I let loose of anything right now, Lord. Lord, if there's anything that's holding me back, Lord, I let it go right now. I confess it right now. I confess it right now. Lord, take it away. Lord, I want to be full of you, Lord. I want people to see you in me, not me. I don't want to just be professing that I'm a Christian. I don't want to just say that I go to the Church of Nazarene. I want to tell them that Jesus lives within me and they can see it. I don't even have to tell them, Lord, because they can see it. Lord, be with us today as we leave this place. Lord, let us be you. Let us show your love to this world. Let us show your love to each other. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all. Amen. Amen. I love you all. I mean that. That's not just something I'm saying. I mean it.